Hola y bienvenido a Planeta Estela. I'm your host, Veronica Vilsky, and today we are speaking with Dominic Boyle from Glasgow, Scotland. He is our first Estela guest that has studied at all six of our school locations, and I'm looking forward to getting the insider information on all of our schools. Welcome, Dom, and thank you for taking time to talk with me during your program.
Hello, not perfect. Having me?
Had you learned any Spanish before you went to South America?
Not really. We got some lessons in work once a week, starting in about November of this year, and I really enjoyed it, but one lesson a week wasn't enough for me to make fast enough progress. And I had a friend in my class who told me about Acela, and I decided to ask work if I could take 2 months off and learn slightly more intensively.
Do you use Spanish a lot at your job?
Not at all, no. It's just I work in business, and they offered us the chance to do one of four languages they deemed to be business languages, so Brazilian, Portuguese, Spanish, Arabic, and Mandarin. And Spanish was the one that most appealed to me. I don't have to use Spanish at all in work, but I would like to learn another language because I never really have. It was always an ambition of mine.
Yeah, that's awesome. Other than Spanish just appealing, was there another reason that you chose it as the language?
The only other language I studied was Italian, and they're quite similar, so I figured a bit of a head start. And because it's so useful, because you can travel South America, which again is, I really wanted to try. I'd never been to South America before. Brazil, you know, the other three languages, Arabic, Brazilian, Portuguese, and Mandarin, are pretty restrictive, despite
Right.
the fact that, you know, Arabic covers a lot of countries, and China is a very big country. As is Brazil. No, Spanish was, I think the cultural appeal as well of South America was something that really drew me.
Nice. What was your biggest challenge or hesitation about doing a Spanish immersion program?
There was only one, and that was money. Taking 2 months off work, paying for the course, accommodation, and the fear of being stuck in, you know, halfway across the world with no money. Was the only thing that put me off, but I arranged my finances so that I was confident enough that I could do it, and it's been fine.
Good.
Yeah.
And you're at the end and you can still make it home and eat and everything?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I mean, just about, but yeah. I had my flight booked there and back, so as long as I can get to the airport tonight.
Good. Can you tell me the order of the schools, again, that you attended?
Yeah, sure. So I started at Lima. So I did 2 weeks there. Then I went to Cusco for 1 week. Then did a week off and did Machu Picchu. And then went back to Lima for a week. And then down to Viña del Mar. And then flew from Santiago to Buenos Aires. And then flew back to Santiago and got a bus across the Andes to Mendoza. And then last night, I took the overnight bus back from Mendoza to Santiago, and I'm currently standing in the garden of the Santiago school. I had my final two lessons today.
Nice.
So,
that's a lot of traveling. You saw a lot of South America there.
Yeah, a lot of buses. I took the bus from Lima to Santiago, which was 55 hours, and that was a highlight of my trip. The scenery was really beautiful. You're going right through the Atacama Desert. It was really nice, but 55 hours is a long time. It was a comfortable bus, but I'm sitting kind of right next to this old, like, Peruvian guy. And it was fine. We were good friends. We were good friends by the end of it. So
you have to be if you're in a bus that long together.
It was good, actually. The bus had films in Spanish with Spanish subtitles, so I probably watched about 20 films with Spanish subtitles, which actually really helped with
nice.
The language. And I also downloaded Harry Potter in Spanish, so I spent a good bit of time on the bus reading that, trying to read that.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah, it was good. Good, just it took me a 55-hour to read one chapter, so it's not impressive.
Oh, in your defense, Harry Potter makes up some of their own words anyway, so.
Oh, well, that is true. That is true.
So how did your plans change as your Spanish program progressed? Because it wasn't originally your plan to go to all the schools, correct?
It was, yeah, I mean, originally I thought to myself, thinking financially, I would try and stick to Peru as long as I could because it's expensive than Chile. So it was going to be like 5 weeks in Peru and then 3 weeks in Chile. I was traveling for 8 weeks and I 7 weeks long. So I thought, I have 1 week to do something myself. And I always suspected that would be my future, but it was whether mm-hmm. I could afford it or not, and ended up getting quite a good deal. So that was what I chose to do with my week off. But when I was doing Machu Picchu in Cusco, I met some people from Argentina, and they just really sold Buenos Aires to me.
Mm-hmm.
I decided just, I found decent enough return, so I decided Santiago anyway, return to Buenos Aires for a week. And then when I was there, I met a guy whose parents, guy from before, his parents moved to Mendoza, and he offered me to stay there for a week and spend the morning in school and the afternoon tasting wines. And I mm-hmm. kind of thought that was too good to turn down. And the bus from Santiago to Mendoza doesn't take too long. So I've, just by chance, I ended up going to that. I'd already paid for the 7 week school. That person's parents lived somewhere different where there wasn't an Acela. I would have had to say no. So it was just good fortune that there's an Acela in Mendoza and that person's parents moved to Mendoza. So it worked well, yeah.
Was it easy to change your program?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, they were really helpful about it. I think I must have changed it twice. And yeah, I mean, it was in the Miraflores school, I think, and then in the Vina school, and I just said to the director, you know, is it okay if I did it? And they sent an email, and I think I had an answer the same day saying, yeah, that's mm-hmm. fine. And even with the Santiago one, it's a bit unorthodox to turn up for one day of class, but I think they understood that, you know, why I was doing it, because otherwise I'd have had class in Mendoza today, finished at 1 o'clock, and my flight is at 11 o'clock tonight, and if you have any trouble going across the border, you know, I could end up missing my plane back to London. So I think they understood that it was more sensible for me to come back overnight and be here.
Yeah.
So they were very understanding, and it was really easy to change.
Good. After all of your studying, what area of Spanish is still challenging for you to understand and use?
The subjunctive, without a doubt. Yeah. It's difficult.
Yeah. And how do your professors help you understand the subjunctive better?
I think the best way is examples. I mean, we've gone through all the rules, doubts, expressions of emotion, reaction, opinion. The best example is just to learn the sort of clauses, creo que, es que bueno que, pienso mm-hmm. que, all these clauses that invoke the subjunctive. And you just have to, I think you just have to get used to expect, you know, it's more often than not when you hear K that it's an improbable scenario that's being expressed rather than a definite one. It's easy to see when it is definite. I think it's more it's more about getting used to thinking, am I going to have to use the subjunctive tense, because it's just not very natural for an English speaker because we don't mm-hmm. really have it. But the professors have been very good. They've done what they can. I think the rest is up to me.
Yeah, that's true. And experience. After your classes were done, what are the types of things that you would do in the afternoon?
It varied by school. So in Lima, we went out for lunch every day, a big bunch of us. And again, because each school has, so in Viña del Mar, life revolves around the beach. So every day after school, you would go to the beach and do your homework on the beach and then go for dinner or whatever. In Lima, yeah, we'd all go out for lunch, and then usually we'd go and do our own things. I'd go surfing or whatever. There was usually activities on at school, so I'd maybe go for a walk around the city centre, a guided tour or something. In Buenos Aires, there was museum tours, and there was Mendoza, there was something on every day. There was a degustación, a tasting of products from Mendoza. There was horse riding, asado, bikes and wine. I missed the bikes and wine because I had to come back here. But I mean, the activities are limitless. The school sets up runs. Even then, all of these places have so many other ones that you can do yourself. So there was quite a few things that I just did on my own, out with the school. There's so much to do all over the place. All of the six locations are fairly big locations. So there's, I mean, there's never a lack of things to do after school. It's more trying to say to yourself, right, today I probably shouldn't go and do an activity because I've not done any homework all week. That's the hard part.
Yeah, that would be.
Yeah, that's difficult.
So you mentioned that you did quite a bit with, like, classmates. How would you describe, just in general, from all the schools, how would you describe the types of people that were in class with you?
A real mix. I mean, I'd never seen myself as a sort of traveling type. And some of the hostels I stayed at, I can understand why that was, because there's a lot of people who might be traveling for a year who, I don't know, are just a bit more laid back or chilled out, or I don't know what the word is, but just don't really care. They don't have any rush to get back. I'm very conscious that 2 months is the most that I could take off work. So, and I'm paying to go to a language school. So when I was there, I was really quite keen to learn. Yeah, okay, we'd go out for drinks some nights, but, you know, what I'm trying to say is the sort of people that were there were of a similar mindset. So some people were doing it for university credits. Most people were doing it because they wanted just to learn the language. And I found that everyone just, that was the main priority. Yeah, okay, we're all there to have a bit of fun as well. And everyone was social, but it was a good mix. Everyone had that right kind of balance between wanting to go, have a bit of fun, enjoy the city, but also realizing that you need to do a bit of homework. You need to work hard in class, or it's kind of your own time that you're wasting.
Yeah.
So I find that's exactly my view, is I was here to have fun, but I was here to learn Spanish. And I was glad that more or less everyone that I met, the students in school, were in mindset. So it made a good learning environment.
Yeah. Which school, or if you have to pick like two maybe, which school or schools do you feel best fit your personality?
So
or location?
It's so difficult because I spent so much more time at some and so much less. I mean, I don't feel like I could realistically judge Santiago after one day, but the two classes I had this morning were fantastic, and it really helped me understand a couple of things. And also Santiago, I was here at the weekend, and I love the city. I'm sad I didn't get to spend more time. I mean, I really don't know if I honestly don't know if I can honestly answer that question. Cusco was maybe a bit too small for me.
Okay.
But it was more, to be honest, I mean, again, good tutors. It was more that I didn't really like the city of Cusco. I love Machu Picchu, but and that is strange because everyone else I speak to is the opposite. They love Cusco. I'm the only person that didn't seem to. I just found it overly touristy and quite an upsetting contrast between the amount of poverty still is in the city and the amount of money that tourists are spending in the various agencies in the city centre. I don't know, I just found it a bit crass. Lima was very relaxed. Miraflores is really nice. Same with Viña. Buenos Aires is definitely the most fun, kind of upbeat. There's stuff going on all the time, every night. And there's so many students there, so there's always people to go out and drink with. Santiago seems to be a bit more like Buenos Aires, but I can't really say because I've only been here for one day.
Right.
So let's
go back to your Machu Picchu trip. So you took a week for that?
I took a week off school and we did it. We did Machu Picchu in 4 days. So we spent.
Did you do a lot of hiking then?
Yeah, we did 4 days of hiking. The trail that we did was called the Inca Jungle Trail, and it was actually, we got to do biking and whitewater rafting, zip lining, as well as the hiking. So it wasn't. So you can do a couple of trails where it's 4 or 5 days pure hiking, 9 hours a day upstairs, and we kind of decided that's just a bit much. And they're double the price to do these ones, whereas the ones that we did for half the price, you get to do mountain biking and rafting and things like that. So, and there is a couple of days of hiking, but it's nowhere near as much as the other trails. And you still end up at Machu Picchu. So I think it worked out well.
And so would you recommend doing it the way you did?
massive for me, massively. I mean, some people, if you're traditional and you really want to do the traditional Inca trail, then fair enough. Or the one, the 5-day one, the Salkantay trail. I mean, that's a real tough. That's 9 hours a day, 5 days. Mm-hmm. I think you walk through snow at one point.
Wow.
And it's a lot of altitude. That's a tough one. For me, I don't know. I do like hiking, but after a few hours, the pain kind of is more present than the joy of the beauty of the scenery that you're seeing. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I would definitely recommend the jungle trail.
Nice. What kind of accommodations did you stay in the different locations? You mentioned hostels.
I only stayed in hostels. Yeah. I didn't,
okay.
I was going to go for the homestays, but I decided that I didn't really want to be tied down to having a dinner time because I might meet people and want to go out for dinner or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it worked out cheaper. The hostels that I found, it worked out cheaper to stay there. I originally wanted to do a homestay and because to help with my Spanish, but I just kept on putting it off. I did, I stayed for 1 week. I stayed in Cusco in an apartment, in an Acela apartment, and it was fantastic. But that was, I turned up, I'd stayed in a hostel for 2 nights, and then one of the other students in my class had an apartment with a spare room, and we were in class together, and I decided just to move in for that week. And it was great. I really enjoyed that apartment.
Nice.
But, yeah.
Do you have a favorite or memorable Spanish word or phrase?
wow.
It's okay to say no.
I have lots.
Oh.
I don't know. I have no idea. No. I'll think of one, and maybe I'll give you it at the end of the interview.
Okay. So how have the cultures been different to your home city or country?
Speed is everything. Oh. Everyone in South America, mañana, mañana. You think a shop will be open, and then it's not open. It's different in different places. In Mendoza, there's a real siesta culture. So mm-hmm. everything's closed between, I don't know, sometimes between 1 o'clock and 8 o'clock at night. It's just closed. One of the banks is only open from 9 a.m, and that's it. And that was exactly when our class was. And even, yes, like the whole, it's very relaxing, but say, for example, service is a lot slower. Everything's a lot slower. People don't necessarily turn up on time. Everything's just relaxed and chilled out. If you're starting class at 9 and you want to try and find a shop to buy a bottle of water before school, good luck, you know. But you just get used to it, and that's just the way it is. It's nice in a way. It's very relaxing. You don't feel like you're stressing people. You can turn up late if you want. It's great. But, you know, I live mm-hmm. in London, and it is the opposite of that.
Do you feel like you're excited to get back to, like, more time-based things, or will it be
no,
a...
Not really.
Okay.
I mean, it's sometimes, yeah, sometimes when you're trying to get stuff done, when you've got something, when you've got a problem, or when you need to find a shop with something, it can be frustrating. A lot of the time, I've noticed as well, if you're in someone's shop and you're asking, all right, do you know if there's another shop nearby that sells this, or whereabouts is this? They just point you anywhere just to get you out of their shop because they can't be bothered dealing with you. And quite often, they'll just tell you nonsense, just point you off down a street. And uh-huh. after the first few times, you kind of learn not to believe everyone because they just can't be bothered and they just want you out of their shop. So, but the people, obviously that's not true with the staff at Acela. So it's quite
right.
handy because all the professors are locals. So if you actually do want to know something, the professors are really good people to ask.
Good. Yeah. In closing, is there anything else you want to share with our listeners?
No, I mean, just that I had such a positive experience. I barely spoke any Spanish before I came here. I still struggle with speaking to people in the street because they speak, especially in Chile, they speak so quickly. But mm-hmm. my grasp of Spanish has improved so much more. I mean, my class is there. My last grammar class was B2, which I'm not at that. I'm still in B1, but I understood everything that we were doing, and it was slightly difficult, but to make that sort of progress in 7 weeks wouldn't have been possible without a program like Acela. And again, I've not tried other language schools, but the teaching here, the booklets, the structure, the way it works, the professors, I would recommend it to anyone that wants to learn Spanish quick.
Good. I was going to say that I'm impressed that in 7 weeks you went from not much Spanish to subjunctive. So way to go.
Yeah, but, you know, bear in mind, like, knowing what to do in the rules is very different to actually being able to use it in conversation. And that's my next step when I get back, is to try and, work on my conversation, find a tutor in London that can tutor me mm-hmm. a couple times a week. Because I still struggle with that, but it's practice.
Yeah. Good. Well, muchas gracias por todo, and we wish you safe travels home this evening.
Thank you very much, and yeah, thanks for taking the time.